Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 8, Number 5. Last month, I talked about purpose and the importance of defining your own. You'd be surprised at how many people in today's world actually live without purpose. They live and breathe day by day without having any specific reason for being, just going through the motion of life, I guess is what you'd call it, waiting for the end to come. They really couldn't tell you why they're doing what they're doing, but they continue to do it till the day they die and then wonder why things turned out the way they did. So I think the point of defining your purpose is very clear. If you have a goal in mind and you have a destination that you want to reach, the chances of getting there and achieving your goal, your objective, your life purpose is going to be very, very high because you know exactly what it is. So let's be clear, folks, about one thing. Clarity is essential in life. Being clear about what it is you want to do. Two, finding out how to go about doing what you want. And three, taking action. And in the process of taking action, that's when you learn a lot of things about yourself, about people, about life, about the world that you're living in. It's the taking action part, like jump in the water and get wet if you want to learn how to swim, but make sure that the water is only waist deep, okay, so you don't drown. Well, this year I want to celebrate 40 consecutive years of weight training. That's right, I've been training with weights for 40 consecutive years, and I love it. What a wonderful experience it has been. I began lifting at age 12 when, at that time, many believed that weight training at such a young age would stunt your growth, would enlarge your heart, and make you inflexible. And of course, we now know that that's absolutely not true. Still, people believe this lard and would advise young kids not to lift weights. And it's probably one of the best things they could be doing in today's world instead of sitting in front of a computer and playing with their stupid computer games. And when I mean stupid, it's just like, okay, there's a time and a place for everything, but if your kid is not moving, if your kid is not training, if your kid is not playing sports and moving their butt, they're going to end up with a very large one that's going to occupy more space than is essential to their existence. And that large butt is usually connected to a large amount of fat on the body, and that's when we get into trouble. So pumping iron is like magic. Building muscle is essential to understand physiologically, emotionally, mentally. You know, it's critical to understand that muscle is our health engine. For me, muscle is, you know, life. It vindicates everything that I believe in when it comes to health and nutrition. You take care of the muscle and it takes care of you. It's like our health engine. It drives the thing. Weight training is my anchor. It's been faithful to the day, every moment, through thick and thin. It's always been my loyal friend. And during my experience training in countless gyms, recreation centers, and fitness facilities all over the world, I mean, I can truly say that I have been in over 5,000 gyms and health food stores now on 6 continents. And even on this tour here in America, I've been counting the number of gyms. I walked into a Gold's the other day, and I said, this is number 228 on this tour. Gold's Gym chain has over 600 gyms. I belong to Lifetime Fitness, which is a gigantic facility, 100,000 square feet. It's like a destination resort more than a gym. They've got about 87 locations. And then, of course, 24-Hour Fitness. They've got hundreds and hundreds of locations in America. Plus all of the independents, the privately owned, the neighborhood gyms. I make it a habit to visit all of them, to meet people, to pump some iron, to throw some weight around, to take care of myself, my mind, my body, my soul. It's all connected. They're all one and the same. So throughout my life, I have put together in my mind some truths about weight training through observation and practice and experience, through study, through research. And I've come up with what I think are some pretty reliable principles. And on this clinical review, I'd like to share what I think are a dozen principles that if you apply, you'll get a reliable outcome in terms of their application. So here goes. Here's number one. Number one of 12 training principles. Train each body part once a week. Now, I have a five-day program. Five Steps to Health is the audio book. And basically, it's training 5 days a week. And each workout, there is a warm-up. And there's always a warm-up for each workout. But what makes each workout unique is that the body part that you train is going to be different. So one day I do legs, then chest, then back, shoulders, and arms. I train usually 5 days in sequence, then rest. And, you know, depending upon your schedule and your pace of life and how you live, you can throw it and switch it around. But the key is to try and get your whole body done in one week. So in that workout, you've got a warm-up, you've got one body part, you've got core training. Core training is always different. You've got cardio, which is always different, or should be, ideally. And then you've got that stretch routine. So Five Steps to Health. So you can train 5 days straight. You can do three on, rest a day, then complete the program. You can train two on, take a day off. You can take 2 days off, do three in a row. You can go 10 in a row. The main thing is to get into the gym, to get the work done. You can vary the schedule in many ways, but just pick up where you left off. If the last workout, like for example, today after this tutorial, I'm going to head to the gym. It's actually a gym here in Alabama called The Gym. Pretty simple stuff. Easy for a muscle head like me to find. Anyway, I'm going to train arms. And the reason I know it's arms day is because yesterday I did shoulders. And I have a sequence. I have a format. I have a schedule that I follow. And I can remember in my mind what I did before. It's that important to me. So if you haven't trained for a couple of days or even a week, just pick up from where you left off, and then continue the sequence. Let's find ways to get to the gym instead of ways not to. Let's, instead of making excuses not to get there, let's find ways, let's be creative, let's really think hard about how we can make it happen, because the problem for most people is not working out too much, it's not working out enough, let's face it. And as I have heard others say, an excuse is simply just a different way of saying, I don't want to. Whatever excuse you can give, I don't have enough time, I don't want to miss my hair, I had to pick up the kids, I had to get my tooth pulled, whatever it was. You're making an excuse not to do what needs to be done. Remember the CHI motto, exercise is not an option. Okay, number two. On days off, on those rest days, go for a walk or perform some low-intensity leisure activity. Don't just sit around and do nothing. Discover the benefits of what I call active rest. Go for a swim. Hike up a mountain. Play with your kids. Go bowling. Shoot some hoops. Take your bike out for a spin. Use the body that you're building in real life. I mean, take the garbage out, for God's sake. But use your body. The reason that you're in the gym building it is so that you can use it outside of the gym. Don't give me this excuse that you have no energy because you work out too much. My goodness, you've got to review your nutrition, your lifestyle, your sleeping pattern, because if the training is bringing you down instead of up, then something is wrong with the intensity schedule. You need to learn about periodization. You need to figure out why you're not having more energy, because training, the result of which should lead to an abundance of energy in your workplace. People should say, wow, man, do you ever have a lot of energy? Wow, do you ever look good? And it's because of the training. Enjoy your strength and beauty. You know, get physical and think physical. Think like a farmer. Think like a hunter. Think like a gatherer. Think like a fisherman. These things are all done out of necessity, or were done, and we don't have the necessity pushing us to do them. So we have to conceptualize the importance of training, and that's what makes us human. That is what separates us from the bug on the leaf, is that we have the potential to understand why we do everything. Use it or it's useless, my friends. Number three, train progressively and train with intensity. Log your strength gains and keep track of your progress. I was working with a friend the other day and he said, you know what, Corey, I haven't been keeping track of my progress. And if you don't keep track, it's easy to forget. It's easy not to visualize and see for yourself that you are actually making some progress. So in the gym, there should be some evidence of an increase in your strength or your endurance or stamina. If you keep track and log your progress, then that stimulus in your mind gives you a positive feedback mechanism of which to propel you forward and get you back in the gym the next day. Put your mind in your muscle. If you understand how this is done, then you know the secret of steel, which I went into detail on in a past SNU. You know, if you don't know the secret of steel, then watch the movie Conan the Barbarian. I want you to watch it again and again and again until you get it. And if you still don't get the riddle of steel, if you still don't understand its puzzle by watching that movie several times, then you'll never get it. If you don't understand the secret of steel by going into a gym and lifting the metal, putting it in your hand and holding the iron in your hand, if you don't get it, then unfortunately, you might never get it. But those who do get it understand that the power of life comes from inside the man, not from outside. Okay, number four, less is more. As your strength increases, as exercise performance and execution quality improves over time, it should take less volume of work to actually get the job done. My workouts with the iron average 3 to 4 minutes per workout. That's right. And I'm talking time under load. So if you don't include the time it takes to load the plates on the bar and unload them after you're finished, if you just actually measure the amount of time that the muscle is under load and contracting with force, it's incredibly brief. Like on average, I've measured it. It's 3 or 4 minutes. Each time I work out, I'm talking about squatting. Just time, the amount of time that you're actually squatting with the weight. And then start your time watch when you start, or have someone else do this. And in one workout, actually time the amount of time that you are putting effort into actually lifting. And you're going to find out it's not that long. So isn't that amazing how little it takes to actually create such value? What an amazing investment return. So again, it's the actual lifting when you're squatting, deadlifting, or benching. So make it count. Make the execution of the movement top-notch, first class, second to none. Other gym members should be congratulating you all the time because of how gracefully and skillfully you move the weights. They're going to come up to you and say, wow, that is really how you do it. Now I know how it's done. And what a wonderful compliment for someone to make, to watch you do it right and then come up to you and congratulate you. And you know, you'll stand out because hardly anyone in the gym is doing what they're doing right. Most of us are copycats, and we're copying people that aren't doing it right. So then you get a whole bunch of people in the gym that aren't doing it right because they're all thinking that the other person is doing it right when they're not. So there you go. Okay, number five, no sitting down between sets. Okay, how many times have you seen somebody just sitting there, and what are they doing? They're pooling their waste. Sip on a carbohydrate, electrolyte buffered, vitamin C, ascorbate solution constantly. Stay well hydrated. Now get up when you finish working out, when you finish the actual work set. Move around. Move the blood through your body. What I like to do is if I am towards the end of the exercise sets, and I only usually do two or four maximum, then I'm setting up my next exercise while I'm recovering. I'm moving around. I've walked over to my water station. I'm sipping on my electrolyte solution. And I'm thinking about what's to come. Okay, never mind chatting. And I see these people on their cell phones in the gym. Give me a freaking break. Can't you take just, you know, a little bit of time away from blabbing and focus on what you're doing in the gym? How do you focus on a very intense set of exercises? How do you focus on lifting muscle against resistance and pushing muscle and lifting weights? How do you focus with intensity when you're talking to your wife or your daughter or your banker or somebody on the phone? It's impossible. And one of the reasons I go to the gym is because it takes me away from the stress of reality, and it allows me to focus on really what's important: my health, my wellness, my body, my real estate, this physical body that I'm living in. So what's at hand isn't about your girlfriend, your daughter, or your stocks and bonds. What's at hand is you're in the gym, you're working out. Now get it done and do it right. Minimize the time, maximize the effort, and the return is 100, 200, 1,000-fold. Sitting is for slackers, okay? Sitting pulls the blood and encourages acidosis. Sitting turns you into a slug. Unless your name is written somewhere on the machine, get off your ass and let somebody else use that machine. You know, I don't think that exercise piece of equipment belongs to you. So when you're hogging the machine and sitting on it between sets, someone else wants to use it maybe, but they're not going to because they're afraid to get in your way. You're actually intimidating them. So get off the machine and let someone else have access to it between your sets. That is courtesy in the gym. Number six, rest 1 to 3 minutes or longer between each set. Now, it's not a race. Take your time. Get into position. Take it slow and easy in and out of the exercise, but then explode in the actual exercise. In the gym, haste absolutely makes waste. You know, I see these guys and girls running around from one piece of equipment to the next, not really taking the amount of time that's needed between each set or exercise to fully recuperate. Manage your carbs and fat intake to modify body fat. Don't use the training mentally to try and reduce your body fat. Okay, that's all nutrition. Training is about getting fit. Keep your daily protein intake up to about 2 to 3 grams per kilogram of your lean mass. Think fat, not weight. Think muscle, not weight. Think in terms of body composition. Unless you're a competitive Olympic wrestler, get your mind off how much you weigh. Weight is the influence of gravity on your mass. You're either fit or you're fat. Measure it. Now get over it and start busting your ass. So again, take your time. Think about what you're doing. But in the movement, in the actual exercise, that is when you bust your butt, get the work done, and train progressively. Number seven, don't exercise to lose fat. Exercise to get fit. Exercise to maintain optimum structure and function. Exercise to build muscle. Train with weights to build or maintain muscle, bone, density, and underlying ligament structure. Perform aerobic exercise to improve cardio. Stretch to maintain flexibility. Use fresh, organic, whole food to fuel your body and manage body fat, not training. What you eat is a function of how you think. If you eat garbage, it's because you've got garbage in your mind. Clean out your head like a computer with a bad virus. Download some new software after you clean everything out. The old software is obsolete and obviously not working. Look at your life. Just examine the outcome functionally, objectively, and see whether or not you're moving forward. Change your thoughts and you will change your life. The excess fat around your gut is there because you put it there and you want it there. Are you telling me that the fat around your gut is in control of you? or are you in control of what puts it there? Come on, give me a break. Your mind is more powerful than a locomotive. It's more powerful than a star in the sky. It's more powerful than anything that we can possibly imagine. So are you telling me that your circumstances or environment are greater than your own mind and your capacity to think? I don't think so. So face up to it, buy into it, embrace the fact that you are what you are thinking, change how you think, and change what you are. If you've got fat, it's there. It's caused by eating what you're a slave to. And remember, the enslavement is a choice. You don't have to eat. Recently here in Alabama, I heard an advertisement on the radio talking about addiction of heroin and prescription drugs and opiates. And their marketing slogan here is addiction is not a choice. And I say, baloney. Baloney. Addiction is a choice. Are you telling me that the Hostess ding-dongs and the pop and the pizza and the peanuts that are salted and roasted, you telling me that you're not doing that in control? Are you telling me there's a demon inside of you that's actually doing that? Are you telling me that you're not doing it with intention? Are you telling me that you're going to blame all of life and all of your problems on an addictive personality? What a load of crap, okay? Take charge, get tough, stand up, be courageous. Be the knight that you are and stop buying into the garbage around us that wants us to believe that our problems are not our fault, okay? Make the changes that you need to make right now, and starting and beginning is half done, as they say. Number 8, exercise intensity and success is determined by repeated failure. Okay. So how does that make sense? How does success equal failure? Because that really is what we call an oxymoron. Well, each set is carried to absolute momentary failure or close to it, except by reason of safety, such as when benching without a spotter, or if you are working to hit specific repetition numbers, in which case you do not go beyond the target rep number. But the rep number, the target, is very close to absolute failure and fatigue. And when you get close, what's going on inside of you is like a hurricane. It's wiping tissue out. It's causing changes that lead to the healing mechanism, the immune response, the neurological response, the skeletal response. All of this is going on, and it needs to go on. Two steps forward, one step back. The objective is to initiate damage in the predetermined muscular region in a controlled and progressive manner, to disrupt the inner cellular environment, forcing the body to adapt and compensate by increasing the strength, size, and or the number of muscle fibers and satellite cells, and this is called remodeling or hyperplasia. Hypertrophy is the increase in the size, and hyperplasia is an actual increase in the number of cells. That's very interesting. It never comes unless you train hard enough for that to occur. Okay, number 9, after you elevate your body temperature by warming up correctly, perform several warm-up sets of the first principal exercise scheduled for that particular day. So, for example, let's talk about the bench press. Each warm-up set is an engram, a message sent to your brain that is stored and utilized as a reference guide regarding range of motion, line of movement, technique, and execution. Also known as a postulated biochemical change that represents a memory. Okay, so what you're doing is you're practicing the repetition and doing that as close to perfection as possible. Repetition is the mother of skill. So this is provided, of course, that the reps are performed with quality and precision. So that is why your warm-ups are actually critical and essential to understand. I'm getting ready to really do myself in with this work set that's coming, so I'm going to practice and do it right, and I'm going to send messages to my brain so that when I'm grinding out and pushing and grunting and groaning, my body knows the motion because it's got that memory to draw from. Add weight to each successive warm-up set and reduce the number of reps as you approach the weight you are going to lift for your two primary work sets. So, for example, I'll just use a bear bar, an Olympic bar, when I do my first warm-up with the bench, and then I'll add plates to each side and do 6 reps. The first warm-up set is 12, and then I'll do one more warm-up set, which has more weight, and that's getting close to my work sets, and so I do 3 reps. So I go 12, 6, and 3. These are my warm-up sets, and then with this compound movement in mind with bench, I will do 2 heavy 6 repetition max for my fast twitch white fibers, and then I'll decrease the weight and work within a rep range of 12 more intermediate and slow twitch fibers. Condition your mind and body for the approaching stress to minimize risk of injury and to add to your performance potential. Remember, the name of the game is performance, and you want to improve your performance. Number 10, ideally train in the mornings when testosterone levels peak naturally. They don't peak at night. They don't peak during the day. They don't peak after work. They peak usually in the morning. Work, family fatigue, and appointments seldom interrupt early morning workouts. Get to bed sooner and get up earlier. Start the day off right in the right direction. Pump some blood through your veins and sweat. Get into sweating. Let's sweat the toxins out. Let's consume enough water so that we do sweat. People that don't sweat are usually massively dehydrated. Stimulate your mind, whet your appetite for excellence, visualize success, train early to create a post-workout thermogenic response for the next 12 hours. Eat well, stabilize your blood sugar, maintain positive nitrogen levels by getting a portion of protein each time you eat. Watch the carbs, watch the fats. Stay lean, think lean, live lean. Jumpstart your metabolism, increase your mental acuity with a morning workout, and create a demand for food. Don't eat unless you deserve it, okay? You'll be energized all day with a morning workout. After the real work is done, the rest of the day is like a highway rest stop. You'll be gliding down the mountain while everyone else is still climbing. Number 11, determine your progress and training results by A, recording your strength, the facts on paper, don't lie, B, monthly or bi-monthly body composition assessment. Every day is best. Invest into a body composition assessment tool and use it for biofeedback. That way you won't get out of range. You step on the machine morning, noon, and night. Morning and night is great, and it gives you feedback, and it tells your brain this is great, or no, I'm heading in the wrong direction, and it keeps you in check. C, complete annual or biannual fitness analysis, including your bio age. So a fitness assessment, which measures your strength, your endurance. There is a body composition assessment. There's also flexibility and aerobic capacity. Remember, a fit man, a fit woman is a total man, a total complete woman. If you are intellectually elevated, you are not whole unless you are physically elevated. And if you are physically elevated but not intellectually stimulating yourself and acquiring knowledge and improving your capacity to be a better person, again, you're not in balance. It's both. It's like the Spartans. Mind and body equally developed as we age, as we move forward in time, so that we become attractive to people around us as that wise woman, that wise man who, by experience and know-how and obvious appeal based on physical appearance and the words that come out of your mouth, that's what makes the difference. D, changes in your physical appearance. Look at yourself naked in front of a mirror. Turn around. Look at your rear end, your thighs. Look at yourself. And if you don't like what you see, you should be motivated to do what's right to make the changes. If you never look at yourself, then how can you possibly have an idea about whether or not you're making any progress? I mean, people that never look at themselves are afraid. They're terrified. They use fashion to hide the actual appearance of their naked body. They're all focused on name brands of clothing and jeans and tops instead of being proud of how they feel about themselves in the mirror. And I'm talking about an aging person as well, keeping in mind that the influence of age is a reality that we must come to terms with and accept. But if you're really in shape and feeling good and looking good at the same time by doing the work, you'll feel good about yourself, and that's going to raise your self-esteem. That's going to make you feel worthy. E, direct use of a measuring tape. So the idea here for symmetry is that your neck and your upper arms, and this is for the gentleman, and your calves. So your neck, upper arms, and calves should all be the same. So get a measuring tape out today and measure your calves, measure your neck, and measure your upper arms and compare them. Steve Reeves said that this should be incorporated into bodybuilding judging, and I agree, because symmetry is the single most important element in judging a bodybuilding competition. And just when you look at somebody, it's their symmetry, it's the balance and proportion of their entire body that makes them very attractive. Okay? So, and the last but not least, number 12, eat as hard as you train. Don't leave your diet to chance. Put as much effort into planning your meal strategy as you do your workout strategy. This is by far the hardest component and where the great majority of people fail, not because they're incapable, but because they don't understand the importance of nutrition as a science and a weapon to defend us against oxidative stress and fatigue. To be successful in bodybuilding or body shaping or body sculpting, whatever you want to call it, okay, you have to overcome the monotony of training, eating and sleeping at the same time in the same way day after day. The body loves routine. It's the mind that seeks variety, and it's the mind, especially the emotional mind and negative emotions and the temptation for pleasure that gets us into trouble. Like how we crave things. Let your mind wander off course and you're bound to wind up like a ship on the rocks. When it comes to nutrition, don't float on the ocean of life aimlessly like a piece of driftwood. A good navigator uses math and science to calculate their direction and outcome. The captain tells everyone what to do because he or she knows exactly where he or she is going and why. So that is my final question that I will ask you today. Do you know where you're going and why? And if you can answer that, my friend, you are well above the element of mediocrity. Okay, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from one of my favorites, Bruce Lee. Obey the principles without being bound by them.